He was once a thug from around the way. Easy, but you should.
Bitch, shut the fuck up. Get the fuck out of here. Yo, Dre.
What's up?
Give me a funky ass bass line.
What the fuck is us in the place to be? Coming on the mic is easy, motherfucking E. Dre is on the beat.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards of Gallery Place podcast. Brendan and Damo back on the show, and it is Friday, September 29th. This is going to be a loaded podcast. This is going to be our official preseason pod, but also going to tie in the Michael Winger and Will Dawkins media press conference that was held the other day. Training camp starts next week, so basketball's here, man. Definitely excited for it to be back. Let's not waste any time, and let's just sort of get right into it here. But before we do that, please make sure that you guys are subscribed to the podcast. It really helps us out. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a comment or a review. If there's any suggestions you guys have, my DMs are always open on Twitter. First things first, man, Michael Winger and Will Dawkins had their press conference the other day, their preseason pod. I don't know how often we're going to hear from them during the season, but it was nice to hear from both of them, prior to the start of the regular season, just to see what exactly their thoughts were on their first off season as we get ready to enter their first training camp here as, president and general manager, respectively. So it was very exciting to hear their vision for the team, and they've seemed to remain consistent. So one thing I'll say is that, again, and we said this at the time, that they seem very thoughtful and diligent. And I think that that's really important, because I feel like from Tommy, he tried to make it seem like he had all these relationships, but I don't think that his mentality was always the best, and I think it probably rubbed a lot of players the wrong way. And I think that Michael Winger and Will Dawkins are truly trying to go about this the right way, always going to be honest with players, and are going to treat their professional careers as individuals, but then also collectively as the organization. And then also, I think that they're putting a priority on their personal lives as well, which I think is refreshing for this org. And that, to me, is the biggest thing that to take away from hearing them speak now twice.
Yeah, man, it seems like it's a holistic view on player development. Like you said, from not just what you're doing on the basketball court, you know, your practice time or how much time you watch film, but literally every aspect of your basketball and life, as far as, you know, your nutrition and, you know, your off hours and, you know, bonding with the team. And I mean, everything, you know, making sure you're comfortable, you know, especially for the guys that, you know, America's not, you know, not their birth country. All of that stuff, I mean, it all plays a part in your development, your mental health, and I think that all translates to the basketball court. I think the biggest takeaway I got from it was that, and I think you mentioned this before, is that this is Dawkins' show. Winger, to me, just seemed like he was kind of just like, you know, he kind of reiterated like he was going to be kind of dealing with other portions of the team, I mean, of the org, or monumental in itself, specifically the Mystics. And but he specifically called out, you know, Wizards day-to-day, go-go day-to-day with Dawkins. You know, and that was kind of that was the main thing I got from it. Like, Dawkins is going to be running this show as kind of the head guy, as far as decisions, player personnel, development, trades, all of that stuff. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, me too. It's definitely exciting times, and we're going to get to see how this all pans out for Will Dawkins.
selfishly, I'm like, all right, I hope he doesn't do that great of a job, because then he's going to be gone and we're not going to have him anymore. But no, I mean, of course, I want Will Dawkins to be the best damn general manager this team in this league has ever seen. Time will tell. And again, this first year, we talked about it the other day. I don't think we're going to be able to read too much into it, but come year two and year three, we're going to be able to see more what their vision is for this team in the short and long term. Kind of piggybacking off that real quick before we get into some more league oriented stuff, and we'll circle back to the Wizards later on in the show when we give their our typical win range predictions that we do every year. But what do you think about the situation with Wes Unseld Jr.? It seems like they're excited about working with him, and they're supposed to be, and I think that's it's what they're supposed to say, but I didn't get vibes from them that like this is the guy that they want to move forward with. And I think a lot of it is going to be a lot of that's going to be riding on this season and does the team progress throughout the year. The other thing to keep in mind is that this is the last guaranteed year on Wes's contract. And so I don't know if that's why they just decided to keep him. So, that they'll just ride through the season. They already know this first year is going to be a crapshoot anyway with the roster. So there really isn't a whole lot at stake. I think that the most important thing for this season above anything else is going to be the development of Bilal Coulibaly. And then maybe you second Jordan Poole and some of the other players shortly behind there. But it seems like Will Dawkins is trying to be heavily involved in the day-to-day operations. He said he was going to be traveling with the team a lot in that press conference and wants to be a part of the player development. So I think that he's going to keep a close eye and make sure that they're developing him properly, or at least the way that he sees fit, which I think is a positive, because I don't want to say Tommy never traveled with the team, but I'm not sure how often that he did. And even when he did, like, was he involved in player development processes and things like that? So it pleases me that Will Dawkins wants to have a hand in that, because at the end of the day, like, yeah, you can point on the coach, but if you have enough coaching failures, then eventually it's going to fall on you. So I like the fact that he's willing to participate in that and make sure that those processes are sought through and executed appropriately. But what do you make of Wes's situation this year?
Yeah, man, I would say, Wes right up there, with this is a big year for him. Like he's got to show something. Like this is year three, and like you said, it's the last year, of his guaranteed money. So he's got to show that he's got, some worth, some stake in the game as far as his coaching, his ability to adjust, to kind of maximize the roster that he does have. Because I don't think I have yet to see him do that. It's crazy that we were almost having, reminiscing about Scott Brooks, who was throwing out all types of crazy lineups and getting the most out of it. I mean, the main one, Raul Neto at small forward. I mean, that literally got them into the play-in. But just stuff like that, I mean, he's going to have to pull some of that stuff out of his hat. And I don't think it's going to be a win-loss thing. I don't think he's going to be judged by that this year, because we know this is a transition year for the group. But he can't have another Clippers game. He can't have how many? I think we blew, what, 7 15-plus point leads?
It was the most in the league.
He can't do that. You can't have players come into him complaining about their role, not knowing what their role is. Like that can't happen in year three again. It just can't, because it shows on the court, and it'll damn sure show in win loss. But I think for that front office coming in that doesn't have ties to you, what's going to be the incentive to keep you along? I think they would just cut bait and they would go get their own guy.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's inevitably what's going to happen, is they're going to let him ride out this last year. And unless he has a really, really, really good year, like the Wizards or the sixth seed or the five seed or something, I wouldn't anticipate him being back next year.
I think it's going to depend on how the players respond to him. If the players are responding to him, and you're seeing players kind of get maximized, and they may lose the game, but they compete to the end. It's no, you know, like I say, 15-point leads blown or ridiculous defensive lapses or guys not knowing where they're supposed to be or do. And say they don't, you know, they finish with 28 wins, but it's a competitive 28 wins. I think he has a chance to stay. But if it's, they could win 35 games, but them 35 games is ugly and they blowouts in the losses and games they should have won, they lost, or games they had in the bag, they blew. He could mess around and get fired. So it's just, I don't think it's going to be on win-loss. I think it's going to be on kind of with the how the players respond to him. But my main thing with this is that, and this is the thing about lame duck coaches, it's like, are they going to put keeping their job above player development? You know, we could touch on it, you know, some of his comments from the presser, but if he's going to be playing some of these wily vets over young guys because he's trying to keep his job, that is really going to piss me off.
I truly do wonder, and Will Dawkins did mention this in the press conference, if I'm not mistaken, that Wes, at the end of the day, made the decision on these assistant coaches. But if I'm some of these assistant coaches, and some of the ones that we brought in are very well respected around the league and have been around the NBA and basketball for a long, long time. And to me, it's like, why would I want to come to that org when the head coach could be fired within the next year, and then now I'm out of a job too? So I'm pretty sure that Will Dawkins probably had some say on these coaches to an extent. At the end of the day, it probably was on Wes, because, you know, it's like, well, a lot of GMs most of the time won't meddle with who the head coach decides, but I'm sure that Will Dawkins had to approve it, obviously, and make sure that, you know, perhaps if they fire Wes, is this a guy that we could probably convince the next head coach to keep around if those guys already aren't going to be candidates for the job when it opens up? So, and that's also something else that's a possibility. You know, if shit hits the fan early on, then, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility he gets fired and he lets someone take over as the interim. And if the interim does well enough, then he gets extended for, you know, a couple years or so, and you see how it plays out from there. So it's not out of the realm of possibility either. But not to be negative or anything, but I just wanted to touch on that because it seemed like they're really excited about working with Wes, and I'm happy that they're going to give him a fair shot. You know, it's not like they've been making statements like, yep, he's got to prove it this year. You know, that they seem like they're going to be very patient, and they've been understanding of the situation that he was in, and not just him, but several players that are carrying over onto the team this year that have been under Tommy for a couple or a few years now and probably were a little bit tired of how things were running. So we can move on to our next topic now. And the biggest trade of the NBA offseason, Damian Lillard going to the Milwaukee Bucks. It was rumored for a while that he was going to be going to the Miami Heat. However, he has landed in Milwaukee. Drew Holiday and DeAndre Ayton, Tumani Kamara, who was the Suns' second round pick this year, a 2029 unprotected Milwaukee Bucks first round pick, and pick swaps for 2028 and 2030 are going to Portland. Phoenix is landing Yusuf Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nasir Little, and Keon Johnson. And I believe Keon Johnson is getting waived, though, if I remember correctly. And then obviously the Bucks get in the roster. Yeah. So I like this trade for all parties. I truly do not think that there was a single loser in this deal. I guess maybe you could argue Portland loses out a little bit just because I feel like their draft pick value wasn't what I expected at all. I mean, if we want to compare it to the Bradley Beal trade, for example, it's like, would you rather have one first round pick or would you rather have like 5 second round picks? It's like, yeah, you know, I'd almost probably rather have second round picks. So, because you could do a lot of different things with them. And I think
we got a first out of that deal, though. We got a first. I mean, it's 2030 first and it's top 20 protected, but we got one. But I mean, yeah, the number of seconds is crazy in that Beal deal.
Yeah. And we've seen several, like, this past trade deadline, we talked about it several times. The trades that happened this past trade deadline, when they were traded for value, most of the time it was for 2, 3, 4 second round picks. So if we're able to, any team that's able to stack up on those would be wise to do so. But man, Damian Lillard to Milwaukee, playing with Giannis, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez. They got a squad, man. They beefed up their bench a little bit this offseason. We'll see how it plays out for them. And of course, they got to stay healthy. We know that Middleton's had a little bit of trouble with that the past couple of years. Giannis isn't always healthy. But on paper, this is the best team in the Eastern Conference right now. I'm not going to say they're the title favorite, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But I definitely think that right now they're the best team in the Eastern Conference when healthy, and it's not close.
I'll go ahead and say it. They're the title favorite.
Okay.
there isn't a, to me, there isn't a better duo than Dame Giannis.
Like, that's true.
That's true. That to me is a perfect pairing. Like, they're, for what Giannis does and where he struggles and what Dame does and where he struggles, there, it's the perfect marriage. That pick and roll is going to be unstoppable. There's just no way you're going to be able to guard that. It's just no way. Cause the Bucks to me forever have been kind of like, you know, a souped up version of the Heat, like kind of, you know, how we talked about earlier, like the Heat struggle with scoring in the half court. Well, the Bucks kind of struggle with that too. Like, I was looking at some stats of their point guards half court shooting in the playoffs the last, you know, in the Giannis era. And it's all been below average, from Drew Holiday to Eric Bledsoe to Brogdon. They all struggle to kind of create shots for themselves in the half court. And now you get one of the best ones to ever do it in Dame Lillard, who has range out to 35 feet. And is also clutch, which is something we've talked about with Giannis before, because they've had to close with Chris Middleton. Well, now they got the best closer in the game, arguably, while keeping Chris Middleton, who's a shooter and defender, two-way guy when he's healthy. I just think, you know, I'm so happy for Dame. I know he wanted to get to Miami, but man, this was the better move, because if he had went to Miami, I don't even know if I would have had Miami as a, I don't even think I would have had them top two. I think I would have probably had them third, outside of the, you know, outside of the Bucks still in the Celtics.
Yeah.
But for him to go to Milwaukee, man, and I didn't even really feel like they gave up that much.
They, like, didn't. Like, I mean, if you want to take a wash for the Drew Holiday thing, because you're still replacing a starting point guard with a starting point guard, all you lost was Grayson Allen and a first round pick. That's it.
In a first, like, that's they can replace. That's nothing. That's
2029.
Yeah, like that. That's nothing. Like, they ain't gonna miss that at all. So, yeah, like, I agree with you. I think everybody in the trade won. I've been getting a lot of, I don't know. I don't know if it's DeAndre Ayton fans or I don't know. I ain't know he had a fan group like that, though he was that great. But, Nurkic and Grayson Allen, basically, and then Nazir Little, because I know they cut Keon Johnson. Like, to me, that's a value add for the Suns, because what they needed was depth. They needed legitimate bench pieces. Nurkic, to me, when he's healthy, that's the key. When he's healthy, to me, is every bit as impactful as DeAndre Ayton on both sides of the ball. Like, he's a better passer, and he's probably a better offensive player outside of the paint. He struggles to finish around the hoop. But as far as like his 10 to 15 foot jumper, yes, post game, he can shoot the three. He can pass, because if you remember, he was in Denver with Jokic. He was the starter there. He was known as a passing big, could get you 10 rebounds and 4 assists a night. So if he can get healthy, they can keep him upright. as a fourth option on that team, fifth starter, like, I don't think they're going to miss Ayton like that.
No, they're not.
And then you get Grayson Allen, who was just a sixth man on a Bucks team that was in the, competing for a championship. So, I mean, seventh man, because behind Bobby Porter.
Well, and he started a lot of games.
He started. So, like,
he was a starter.
He was a starter. And then Nazir Little is a 6'8", 230-pound athletic wing. So they could do, he's under contract, I believe, for another 3-4 years. So they can do whatever they want with him. He could develop into something. He could not, and they could cut bait. Like, so to me, I think they got good out of the deal, too. And then for Ayton with Portland, they get two players better than Jrue Holiday, and they get a first. And then they could take and they get swaps when Giannis might not be in Milwaukee. And then you get, so you can hope you can absorb DeAndre Ayton overpay and hope that he can play up to that number and develop and be like a legitimate 20-10 big. And then Jrue Holiday, you're going to have about 10, 20 teams banging down the door to try to get him. So you can get even more assets. So I thought it was, like you said, I thought it was a win for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. And especially going to Phoenix, they needed the depth really bad. And they did have a good free agency. Like, I thought out of all the teams in the NBA, I thought that they had a top five free agency this year, given what they had to work with. They had a really, really good offseason. Now we'll see if their main pieces can all stay healthy and if they can play together. But right now, I think that they just traded for one of their starting guards in Grayson Allen. So I think they're probably going to roll with Beal, Allen, Booker, KD, and Nurkic. And that's not a bad five at all. And I think that Nurkic is a better fit for the rest of those players in that Phoenix starting five, because you want someone who can bang a little bit more and is a little bit more defensive minded, but also the passing, like you mentioned. And then, like you said, getting Nasir Little, who was signed to a really, what I would call a relatively cheap extension. So like you said, he's on the books there for some more years, and that'll be really good for them. And, Portland, you get Jrue Holiday back. You could look at the draft pick compensation and not be that happy with it, but wait and see what they turn Jrue Holiday into, because you know that they're not going to keep him. So, I mean,
yeah, he's trying to be him, because Jrue Holiday could shift the league again. If Boston or the Warriors or the Heat get him, it could shift the league again. We'll be redoing the conference predictions.
And getting to Monte Kamara, I know that that's probably not going to be looked at a lot, but it's just another young player that the Blazers can add to their core to try and get something out of those guys. Because now they've entered the rebuild. That is the mode that they're in. They're not trying to win games. They're focused on the development of Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, and now DeAndre Ayton. So any of those young guys after that can carve roles in their system and try to find a place long term, the door's open for you, young fellas. You got to go out there and earn it, though. A very good deal for all parties involved, I think. Let's see.
You see a Heat fan, man, give him a hug, man, because I know they hurting right now. Heat fans, man, I'm sorry for you, but. It is what it is.
Yeah. They're inhaling copium to the max. You didn't come away with Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, none of them. And they were telling us that they're going to get both
KD.
Of them.
You can get KD. They had an opportunity to get KD, too.
And remember this shit?
He was on their list before he went to Golden State.
They told us they were going to get both Dame and Brad. Remember this shit?
I remember it finally, and I'm just like, with what fucking assets? Because the Tyler Hero package ain't moving shit.
You couldn't get not one of them. But again, no one is just going to like the Lakers and the Heat, like the Celtics, teams like that. No one is just going to help you guys. No one's just going to voluntarily be like, oh yeah, we're gonna give one of the best and largest fan bases in all of basketball some of the the best organizations in NBA history, they're not going to hold your hand and help you get deals done to get star players. If teams feel like you're not giving up what you should be in order to get their star player, they will happily go to another team in a smaller market to work out a deal where they feel like they're getting the max that they can get. And I've said this before, and I made this point several times on podcasts in the past when we talked about trades. Sometimes just because you have the most to offer compared to another team does not mean that you're going to get that deal done, because teams want to make sure that they feel like they're maximizing what they can get out of you in a return. Now, I'm not saying if you offer 3 first-round picks and another team has 2 second-round picks and, you know, that's their max that they can give, that they're going to go take the offer from that team that's offering the 2 second-round picks. But what I'm saying is if they feel like you're holding off and not giving up something that they're asking for and they're hell-bent on that, they will go to another team where perhaps they get a little bit less. But again, they're getting the max that you can give up to acquire a player that is offering their services of an all-star, all-NBA level talent.
Yeah, man, the dissension has been hilarious to watch, man, because it went from Bam Adebayo rocking Bill jerseys in the locker room. They just knew they was getting him. And then when they didn't get him, it was like, oh, well, we didn't really try to get him because we waiting on Dame Lillard. And then they don't get him either. And now it's, oh, the Blazers took a worse offer. Yeah, man, get the hell out of here. No, they didn't. Like, no, they didn't. And then I just love the PR coming out acting like Pat Riley really offered the max to offer to get Dame. Like, he offered every pick, every young player, plus Tyler Hero and all this extra stuff. And we know damn well he didn't. He didn't. He didn't offer all of that, because if you offered all of that, you would have had him.
Right.
If you had just offered, you because that's Jokic, where Dame wanted to go, nobody else was going to call your bluff.
If they had offered Jovic, Hakez, 2 first-round picks, no matter what else was in the deal would have been done.
It would have been done. It would have been done. He didn't want to offer all of that. He offered like 2 ones, Tyler Hero, and 1 of Jovic. And Hawkins.
Yeah, you know, they were like, saying that he didn't even want to give up Hero.
Oh, but didn't it? Man, get the hell out of here. You wasting time. He doing what Masai was doing then. Wasting people's time. If the reports are true, because they said Masai was trying to get Dame without offering OG, Siakam, or Scotty. Like, what the hell?
Like, a top 10 literally player,
42-7. Come on,
man. Yeah, it's like, what are you left over with after that? Gary Trent Jr., Chris Boucher, like,
yeah, they really the GMs that be in the fantasy league throwing out the bullshit trades, man. Like the disrespectful trades. Like, hey, let me give you my 3rd running back for Davante Adams.
Circling back to the Wizards here for a second before we get into our Eastern Conference, Western Conference, and award predictions and all that, championship predictions. Win range for our Washington Wizards. Again, we talked about it a little bit the last episode. They're not expected to win a lot of games. Now, if they happen to win a lot of games, that is perfectly okay with me. I don't like losing, and I'm not sure I'm impressed with the prospects, at least that I've seen so far, to where I'm like, oh yeah, we need to make sure that we get a top 3 pick. So if they want to win some games this year, totally fine. I don't think they're going to. And if we have to get, I think what we do is like a 5 win range. So I would say, 27 to 32 wins for the Wizards. I think that's what they'll hover around.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm kind of like, yeah, 35. I mean, I'm sorry, not 35. 25 to like 33-ish. Yeah, 25 to 33. That's 7 game range. So we about in the same ballpark. Roughly. I mean, the seeding is probably going to be, I mean, that range of wins, it's really not going to matter. But I feel like they're going to fall in between that, you know, they're going to fall in between that 11 to 15 range. Maybe they'll have a couple weeks where they might hit 10 or 9. and then they'll fall back to where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, and again, as long as the team is entertaining and is playing basketball the right way, and the players that need to be getting prioritized on the court are getting playing time and meaningful minutes, then I won't care about the result. Didn't really talk about this a second ago, but if Bilal Coulibaly plays 1 minute in the G League, Wes needs to go.
See, to me, it depends. It depends on how they deploy him to the G, right? I don't want them deploying him to the G like they did Johnny Davis. Like, that was a disaster. But if they're deploying him to the G and he got full point guard reps, he taking 20 shots a night, he playing 30-plus minutes, closing out games for them, right? And then say by, maybe he do a month or 2 month assignment down there, and then say by, you know, end of November, beginning of December, he's up with the big club and he's getting at least 15 minutes a night, I'm fine with that. But if he in the G and he's standing around waiting on the point guard to get him the ball, and he's just down there being kind of like a role player, and then we don't see him in real games, real action until the end of the season, I'm going to be pissed off. Because yeah. Who in the hell are you playing over your top seven pick that you traded up for? Who are you playing over him?
Anthony Gill.
Like, you, I mean, based on what Dawkins said, they view him as a guard, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I would say maybe a 2-3, right? So, what 2-3 on this roster should be playing over him?
There's none. There's no one.
Like, I'm not seeing it. So, yeah, man, it should be no excuse for him not to spend most of his time with the big club this season.
Yeah. And again, like, if they start out the first couple few weeks and he just looks completely lost, physically he's not up to par with his matchups, then okay, send him there for a little bit to get some time and then bring him back up. But if he can hang athletically, physically, and he's just not hitting shots or whatever, then you keep him on the team and you let him fight through rookie struggles like any other rookie. That's what happens. They're not going to go out there and average, you know, not everybody can be Paolo Banchero or Zion Williamson in their rookie year. So,
I'm not expecting him to average 15 plus points a game as a rookie.
No, I don't even think he'll average 10 points this year. If I'm keeping, no, I don't even think he's going to average 10.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't either.
League stuff. It is time to go over the Eastern and Western Conference, where we think teams will be placed within those respective conferences. We kind of went over it a little bit in the East just now, but I think obviously Milwaukee is going to be the favorite in the East. Some could say Boston. Understandable, I guess, but I disagree. But right now I would say Boston and Milwaukee are the top two. Obviously, Milwaukee is the leader there. After that, it gets a little tricky, but competitive, and I don't think that that's entirely competitive in a good way, but after that is where you'll get the teams like Brooklyn, Cleveland, New York, Miami, and that's four, so that's six right there that we just named, right? So that leaves, or that I just named. So that leaves two teams open. Oh, Philadelphia. I guess you can't leave Philadelphia out of that mix because they still got Embiid. So that kind of leaves one playoff team left. And one of those teams could have a bad year. Like, you know, Brooklyn could not keep up the season if they feel like they don't have enough talent. But I think they have plenty of talent. Atlanta's in that mix, so... And then after that, you know, it's Charlotte, Chicago. But those would be my eight playoff teams right now. I would say Atlanta, Boston, Brooklyn, Cleveland, Miami, Milwaukee, New York, Philly. And I think that's eight, right? Yeah. So those would be my eight. But the top of the conference, I would have Milwaukee, Boston, maybe Philadelphia creeps in a little right there, maybe Cleveland. But, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Donovan Mitchell at this point. There's still a lot to be played out before the regular season starts.
I think the Pacers are going to make a jump this year, man. Now, I keep looking at how their roster is constructed. I'm like, if they can keep Miles Turner healthy, I think Ben Mathurin is going to be nice. I think, obviously, Haliburton is going to be nice. I like them getting Jairus Walker at the four spot. I think they got a nice little squad, man. Like, and they're going to be able to push the pace, shoot a lot of threes, get out in transition. I would put them in my – I would probably put them over – like, so the top teams, obviously, Bucks, Celtics. Those are the top two. Then I would go to next group, Sixers, Cavs, Heat. And then
you
I would
put the Knicks in
another
group?
No, I wouldn't. So, yeah, I would have those five. And then I would start that next group, that the 6-8 teams. And that's where I would put the Knicks, the Hawks. And then I would put the Pacers. Then after that, you know, I got, you know, obviously you got Chicago, Toronto, Magic. I don't think they're quite there yet. Charlotte, definitely not there yet. Detroit, not there yet. And then the Nets, I just don't really see. I don't know what the identity of that team is going to be. It just seems like they got a bunch of they kind of got like a patchwork team put together because it's I don't want to say scraps from other teams, but it's just it was guys that were in trades for big name players,
right?
You know, that they were trying to build around, and that's just what they could get back,
right?
And so they haven't even really had the time to actually build a team yet to go identify a point guard they want to move forward with and who they want to be their best player, franchise guy, and developing that role. Like, they just kind of got a bunch of, you know, solid, good pieces, but, you know, do they actually fit together? So we'll see.
Let's go to the Western Conference and then we'll circle back to conference finals predictions and our championship predictions. West should still be interesting enough. I think at the top you have Phoenix and the Lakers, the Nuggets. Those to me are the big three in the West right now, and everyone else is in a tier behind. After that, you have Sacramento, Dallas, Golden State, the Clippers, if they can stay healthy. We'll see if the Grizzlies can rebound after John Morant comes back. The Timberwolves are going to want to try and win games. The Pelicans are going to want to try and win games. The Thunder were a play-in team last year. So we'll see how competitive that the Spurs are this year with Wembanyama. So this conference is definitely deeper than the Eastern Conference. But to me, it's clear 1-3. And then not in any particular order. Those are just, you know, Phoenix, L.A., and Denver are like the top three for me in that conference. And then after that, everyone else. But it'll be close. You know, I don't know if you can come away with a straight eight for playoff predictions this year, just because so many of them have decent enough teams to where they could be a playoff team. You know, I mean, it's hard to come away with a solid eight for that. I mean, obviously the top three I think are easy enough, but after that, it's not exactly crystal clear.
Yeah, I gotta see. It's tough because I gotta see where Drew Holiday goes. But as of now, I think that the top teams are obviously you got to put the Suns, you got to put Denver, and then I think you put the Lakers in that group. That's the top three to me. Then I think the next group I would go Memphis, Sacramento, Clippers. But then if the Clippers go and get James Harden, then I might move them up a tier. But as they are now, I would keep them in that tier two.
If they get James Harden, I might move them down a tier.
I mean, he want to go to L.A., so you. I don't think we're going to get Fat Suit Harden if he get to the Clippers. Now, if they send him somewhere else he don't want to be, then he's going to throw that fat suit on. And then you definitely got to drop him. After the Clippers, see, this is where it gets a little dicey because I'm like, Golden State?
I want them to get Drew Holiday so bad.
They need him. They need him, bro. They need him. They need something. Because Klay is on a decline. Draymond is on a decline. Steph still competing at a high level, elite point guard in the league. But they need something, man. They need some juice. I feel like the teams are kind of the younger teams are kind of ascending up, getting better. The teams that were already better than them then added stuff to get better. Like I said, the Lakers, obviously the Nuggets and the Suns, they just kind of it's odd that the Warriors are like kind of sitting on their hands. I think that James Wiseman pick, man, just basically giving that kid away and him not turning out to be nothing for you is kind of set them back.
Supposed to be a cornerstone. Like, I thought the Jordan Poole trade side of it for them was really, really bad. Now, I guess the idea is maybe you can try and you can move Chris Paul since he's expiring and maybe you can bring in some players back. But if teams are wanting to trade for an expiring contract, it's because they have guys on the books that they want to get off of. So how much do those type of guys make the Warriors better? So you could do a Drew and Chris Paul swap, and maybe you give him Kuminga or Moody or something like that to sweeten the deal. Like, if you could get Kuminga out of that, I'd probably do it. Maybe you can try and squeeze like a couple of second round picks.
I can see that, but it's like, okay. Yeah, I mean, and then now you become kind of more of a top heavy squad. I mean, what they really need though, they need Kuminga and Moody to kind of become legitimate top eight rotation players. That's what they really, really need. Cause they done already took the L on Wiseman. You done got rid of Jordan Poole, who was your best young asset, ascending player. But like when I look at their roster, I'm like, who's the young ascending guy that can kind of slide into that role as Klay and Draymond are declining, or even Steph? What happens if Steph starts to get some chink in his armor, man? Like, what you gonna do? You gonna miss the playoffs again and tank for a top two pick? Like, I don't know, man. I got some questions about the Warriors, man. Because it's starting to look a little bleak for them. I think their window might definitely be closed now.
Yeah, Mike Dunleavy's got to try and do something because if not, he's going to be out of a job within like 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, all great things come to an end, man. I mean, the Steph dynasty had to end at some point, but it's just like, man, it's like they ushered in kind of the small ball movement, and as they were kind of coming to the end of that, Nikola Jokic and Embiid and all these bigs kind of emerged, Giannis, and now they the small ball team trying to play catch up. Like, and that's why they went and got Wiseman. They had the foresight to go get that guy, but he just didn't work out.
Right.
Because, like, if Wiseman turned out to be what they thought he was going to be, and he was like this 20 and 10 big with 3-point range and playmaking, well, we're having a whole different conversation about the Warriors right now.
Yeah.
But it's just like, now I'm looking at their roster. I'm like, they small as hell. You know, the Lakers front court, the Nuggets front court, the Suns, they're going to cook them.
What?
And if the Clippers get Harden or Drew Holiday, they're going to cook them too.
Yeah.
It's the crazy thing about, I know you just mentioned Steph Curry and when he starts declining. The Warriors could have, and it would have been tough, but they could have switched direction, changed up some of the personnel, and maximized what they could around Curry, because Curry at minimum right now, if you want to put Dame as the top point guard in the game, I'm not going to get into that argument. It's fine. But at worst, Steph Curry is still a top 2 point guard in this game right now. And he's not prime Steph, but he's still a really, really damn good version of Steph Curry. So they could maximize talent around him, but you need size, you need defense. And they've continuously ignored those things. Like, I know that they want to say that Klay and Draymond are really good two-way players. Klay can't be counted on to stay on the court, and he's kind of lost a step. And Draymond, no one gives a shit about when the Warriors have the ball, because all he does is run around and try and hand the ball off to the guards, which was fine 4 or 5 years ago. It is not fine anymore. Because teams are just going to leave you.
Yeah, you got better score the ball now, man, because teams are putting their wing players at the four spot now. And you know, those guys can put it on the floor, shoot it, handle it. So, like, the league, it's a copycat league. When they first deployed Draymond as, like, this point forward, nobody else was doing it. But now everybody's doing it. So you got to adjust. And like I said, they tried with the Wiseman pick, you know, and then that just didn't work out. And so now they're kind of left holding the bag of, like, okay, well, what the hell do we have? I think they could have did something similar to, like, what the Suns did. Like, that Devin Booker finals team is completely different around Devin Booker now. They could have did something like that, but it would have meant letting go of, you know, the dynasty big three. You know, moving Klay, moving Draymond. It would have meant doing that. And I feel like if they did that, kept Jordan Poole, and then brought in other pieces that fit better, they'd probably be in a better situation right now. But it's just, you know, hindsight is always 20/20.
And you have to give the Bucks and the Suns credit, because that year the 2021 finals when they were both there, the Bucks and the Suns?
Right.
And they both, between now and then, have now completely transformed their teams into a competitive, like, to a better team. And it seems like the Warriors have just been unwilling.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of like, I don't know. Are they married to the legacy of the Steph, Klay, Draymond era? Because they just refuse to move those guys.
To be fair, like, let's say Middleton, Drew, and Giannis win 4 championships. They wouldn't move on from them. You know, so, I mean, I get it.
Like, they're like, look, these are lifers. We're not going to trade them to, even if it means extending our window and making our team better, we're not going to trade our guys. You know, we're just going to let them get worse here.
Right. And if that's the hill that they want to die on, then that's fine. But it's just sad to me, like, as a NBA and as a Steph Curry fan, they could still be really, really competitive and compete for championships if they just made some of those hard decisions. And it just seems like they're not going to be able to do that, or they'll be unwilling to do that.
So. Yeah, it sucks, man. It sucks. They kind of need to make – oh, I hate saying this, but they kind of need to make the Boston trade, where they traded away KG and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. Like, they kind of needed to make that trade, like, last year. But instead, they traded away the one good young player they had and kept the old guys. And it's just like,
right.
Okay.
It's just where I felt like over the last few years, maybe not last year, I forget who I picked last year to win the championship. I might have picked the Warriors again. But in 2022, when I had the Warriors winning the title, to me, they still had juice. And this past offseason, it's just not the same. Some of those guys have clearly lost a step, and it's not prime Curry anymore. It's still a good Curry, but it's not prime Curry. And so to me, you have to supplement the talent around him, and they haven't done that. Their supplemented talent is Kuminga, who still, you don't know, Moses Moody, who is a spot shooter, and you have Kevon Looney, who I really like, but, you know, he's not going to carry you in a game. Really impactful, though. I do like Kevon Looney. But then you have Klay and Draymond, and if those are your 2 and 3, it's like,
I can't win championships with that at this point. Like Jordan Poole filled a really, really good role for them. And I know that they had the locker room stuff and they wanted to get him out. They should have gotten something better than what they did. And because to me, watching him, I don't see how teams like would view Jordan Poole as a liability. Like, I'm surprised they really didn't get anything better for him. I get he's paid a lot of money, but with the cap going up and everything, I don't know, man. Like, and they gave us a first round pick. They're off their fucking rocker, man.
Yeah, they were bugging with that, man. They were bugging with that. And I would get it if you looked at Kuminga or Moody and was like, oh, they can slide in and be 20-point-per-game guys. One of those guys could do that. But you don't have that. Who's that guy? Like, I just, you know. But again, I think they would rather descend into, you know, bad basketball with their guys, then have to trade them and kind of, you know, the ugliness of that. It is what it is.
Because I guess here's that, if we want to look at it from a political standpoint, if they start to lose with these guys and then the fan base gets on board with, all right, maybe it's time to move some of them if we still want to preserve Curry for the last, you know, 2 to 3 years or whatever, then by then everyone will have seen that it's the formula is not going to work, and then a change is needed. But if you make the change now without seeing it on the court first, then you're just going to piss fans off. Win or lose.
But that's why the GMs get paid the big bucks, because you got to make the tough decisions before the fans figure it out. You know, because it's better to make the decision early than it is to make it late. If it's about winning basketball games, like, it may not be about that no more. It might just be about preserving a legacy, selling jerseys, and just letting Curry ride out with the sunset with his guys. That might be what it's about. Like, we're going to try to win games with those guys, but in the back of your head, you know, they ain't the same. Like, they not the same, but you're just willing to ride it out, you know?
Eastern Conference, who is going to the conference finals this year? Pretty sure this is easy based on our conversation. I think it's Milwaukee and Boston.
Milwaukee, Boston. I think it's a clear gap there too with those two teams right now.
I mean, the Eastern Conference is, and it was crazy because we were talking about the Eastern Conference was getting really competitive and it was going to be deeper than the West. And after like a season and a half, that narrative is now switched back and it's back over to the West. Western Conference. Who's going to the conference finals, man? I got the Lakers, and this is actually tough. I'm going to go Phoenix, but I really want to say Denver, but I'm going to go LA and Phoenix.
That was my pick, man. I got Phoenix versus the Lakers in the conference finals, man. I think Denver, my heart wants me to put Denver in there, but I just feel like losing Jeff Green and losing Bruce Brown and kind of banking on young guys to fill in that role, I'm not sure about that yet.
They lost a lot.
They lost their sixth man and their seventh man, and they didn't replace them with anybody. So... and then the Lakers had the best offseason probably of the West teams. And then the Suns added Bradley fucking Beal. And Grayson Allen and Nurkic. So it's like, I got to go with my head here. As great as Jokic is, man, I know he could do some impossible things. But, the Lakers and the Suns, they mobbed up over there.
NBA Finals, who's going? I'm going to take Milwaukee and the Lakers.
This is tough. This is so tough.
For the West, it's tough. For the East, it's not tough. For the West, it's tough.
yeah, for the West. I'm going to go... Shit.
Honestly, it depends on health. What version of AD and LeBron are you getting at the end of the season? Like
are they going to be healthy? That's the only thing. Like, I think it's going to be an injury. It's going to come down to injuries. We know this. Somebody going to get hurt, and then it's going to be like, oh, well, that's it. They're not going to be able to keep up. I'm going to say the Suns, man. versus the Bucks. Like I said, I think the Bucks is just they ain't getting to that motherfucking finals, man. I just don't see nobody stopping them.
I didn't even think about this. I am totally down for a Suns Bucks rematch. I'm totally down for that. I didn't even think about that. But I am gonna take the Lakers. I think Ooh. LeBron and AD they're I'm talking about going to the finals. I think okay. that yeah, I like the Lakers over the Suns there. I think they're gonna make one last push to try and get a championship. They beefed up their depth, some of the best depth in the NBA. Yeah, I'm gonna take that over. But the Suns have decent depth.
The Suns address some of that depth issue, though. That's the thing. Like, that's why had they kept Ayton, like they kept their team as is, I would have picked the Lakers. But when they made that Nurkic deal and getting Grayson Allen, man, they not top heavy no more, in my opinion, man.
It's Steph going to seven, though. It's Steph going to seven. But I'll still take the Lakers. I'll take the Lakers.
Yeah.
NBA champion, who you got?
Come on, man. It's the Bucks.
Bucks.
Dame is not going to be denied this year, man. I can already tell by some of his tweets. He got his list of haters. He got it ready, man. So when he hosted, I wouldn't be surprised if Dame fuck around and win finals MVP.
Yeah.
Like, that boy going to be on a mission this year. Because there's a whole lot of people talking some smack, talking about what he not and what he couldn't do in Portland. And he got a list. I know he got a list.
I'm not trying to jinx this by any means, but NBA gods, please do not let happen to Damian Lillard what happened to Aaron Rodgers this year. Let him stay healthy throughout the whole season so we can see what it's like for him on the biggest stage on a different team. Please keep this man healthy.
They gave this dude scored 71 last year, man, and they gave this man Giannis. Lord Jesus.
Lord. I'm with you. I think it's Milwaukee. But I would love to see a Bucks-Phoenix rematch in the finals. You got Devin Booker beefed up his squad. Giannis has his squad beefed up now. So it would be an all-timer, man. It would be really, really fun. You got Grayson Allen going up against his former team. And yeah, it would be really, really fun. So
that would be the most exciting thing I've been about a final since like the Cavs-Warriors matchup with LeBron, Kyrie.
You had the Suns made two trades, three if you want to count Bradley. I'm not going to count the Bradley Beal trade. Either way, the Suns made two trades that changed the landscape of the NBA. The Bucks obviously were part of one of those deals, and now those two teams meeting back in the finals together. Oh, with the rematch from 3 years prior? Yeah. Oh, give it to me. I would love it, but I'm going to take the Lakers still.
So you got the Lakers. So hold on, you got the Lakers winning it all?
No, Lakers and Bucks in the finals, I mean. But I'm taking the Bucks.
Okay. Lakers, Bucks, yeah. Finals, and then who you got winning the finals?
Yeah, the Bucks.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. So we both got the Bucks. We just got different opponent.
I do like the Lakers, to me, have a deeper team. But like you said, I don't know if they're going to have anyone that's going to be able to check Dame, and they certainly don't have anyone. No. But again, it's like if AD plays up to par, he could kind of check Giannis a little bit. It's just, it's tough.
The Lakers shooting, I worry about too. Because if we looking at like the shooting repertoire, 3-point shooting, the Bucks, the Suns, they got more. They got Kevin Durant, D Book, Beal, Grayson Allen, Bobo can shoot it. Eric Gordon, you know he could light it up when he get going. I mean, they got a lot of shooting over there. Keita Bates, Diop, I believe his name is.
Uh-huh.
He can shoot it. What's the boy they got from the Nets?
Utah Watanabe.
Yes, he can shoot it. One of the best shooter, 3-point shooters in the league. They got shooters, man. The Lakers going. They need. They're gonna have to get theirs out of the paint, and sure, get to that really fast break.
I hate to do this now. I might take Phoenix over the Lakers now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, no, no. You got to stick with your pick, man. Don't let me talk you out of it. Stick with your pick.
All right, whatever. I'll stick with the Lakers then. All right. Oh. When in doubt, go LeBron.
Hey, that ain't bad, man, brother.
We did champ. Who's going to win Rookie of the Year?
This is another tough one, man, because Chet kind of messes up the whole damn. I'm going to go and see. I don't know how they're going to vote. Are they going to vote which rookie with good stats on the best team, or are they going to go with the rookie that just got the best stats, no matter what his record is?
I think it's going to be Victor Wembanyama, no matter what.
Yeah, they do have a narrative to push with that.
Yep.
Which I'm not mad at. Like, I'm not mad at it. They're trying to usher in a new era. So, because I'm thinking Wimby and Scoot are going to have some of the better rookie stats, but I think Chet is going to impact winning the most, but his stats may not be as good. And like the Thunder are going to be like maybe a top six seed. So what are they going to value? You know what I'm saying? Like what? And in that scenario, like you said, they're probably going to give it to Wimby. So I'm going to go Wimby.
Here's a fun one though. Take out Chet and Wimby. Who do you think would be the, who's going to be the best rookie out of the bunch this year? This is a fun one.
So no Chet or Wimby?
Yeah.
Oh, it's cool. Game tailor made for his skill set. Like, athletic, jump out the gym, nice mid-range game, can run pick and roll. It'll be Scoot.
Let me give you a hot take for... I don't think he's going to win Rookie of the Year, but I think someone that will be in... he'll be right there, I think. Asar Thompson, Detroit. I think he's going to be right there. He's going to have a really, really good year.
I don't know if he's going to play a lot, like to be in the Rookie of the Year conversation, because they just spent $40 million a year on Fred VanVleet. They trying to make the playoffs. I don't know if
I said Asar Thompson, not Amen Thompson.
Oh, you mean, I'm sorry, not Amen. You said Asar. Damn, my fault. Detroit. Okay. All right. So you think he's starting next to Cade?
Not originally, no, but I do think that eventually he'll start over Jaden Ivey.
Ooh, over Jaden Ivey?
Yes, eventually. Not to start, but eventually.
Why not both? Asar at the three. Who they got at the three right now?
Boyan? Or is he playing the four?
Ooh, yeah, they do got... Yeah. But, I mean, ooh. Yeah, so
you can just trade
Boyan,
though. It's not hard. Get drafted.
Yeah, you have to trade Boyan. Boyan, I think, led them in scoring last year. So, but I do think Boyan played most of his minutes at the four. So, I don't know.
Because they're probably going to start Durin and Wiseman. What I would do is I would start Stewart and Wiseman, but to each their own. It's not my decision. Either way, they're going to start Durant there. At the five.
I would start Durant at the five and then just put Boyan at the four and then go Osser, Ivy, and Cade. But I don't know. They got a lot of bigs. They got to figure that out.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I don't know. Because I think they really invested in trying to get Cade and Ivy popping off. So I don't know if it's going to be enough ball for Osser. And then, like I said, Bojan laid them in scoring last year, so he gonna get the touches. I give you one though, and this is my guy pre-draft. That's not one of the obvious guys. If he can get back healthy, playing like how you playing in summer league, Keyontae George,
Utah.
He
right?
already got NBA game. Yeah, Utah. Ain't nobody over there that's really to me. Obvious choice to play big minutes over him. I know they still got Jordan Clarkson. They got Mike Conley. I think Colin Sexton is there. But to me, none of those guys are their future. Not a single one of them. If he can get back healthy, he can get on that court playing like he's playing in summer league, he can put up some numbers. So, and we know they're in kind of rebuild mode anyway, so he can get the minutes.
MVP. Who's it going to be this year?
The best player in the league, Giannis.
Okay. Do I want to big brain this one? Because Giannis was my pick, but do I want to big brain this just to be a contrarian? Nah, I don't. It'll be Giannis. Actually, hold up. I'll fuck around and say Jokic.
Okay. They're going to have to have the number one seed. Because the Bucks going to have the number one seed.
Yeah.
And if you know Giannis' number is going to be stupid. So if Giannis' number stupid, Jokic' number stupid, but Jokic a 3 seed or a 4 seed and Giannis the 1 seed, I mean, I think the choice would be obvious unless they try to pull some gymnastic shit, change the rules up. But
I guess my only thinking was like if Dame is on that team and so he takes – and Middleton will be back fully healthy for hopefully a longer period of time. That's going to make his usage rate go down by just a tad. So I wonder, I'm not saying he's not going to have great numbers, but I just wonder since Jokic is basically the point guard of their team, like leads in usage and all that shit. If he'll have like, if he can get close to triple double numbers or something like that, because I don't think Giannis is going to have the assist numbers get close to a triple double. So if like Jokic can average a triple double and have really good shooting splits, the mid to high 20s for scoring, then I think it would go Jokic. But again, context is important.
I'm just throwing this out here. Giannis has never played with a shooter like Dame. What if they put Dame more into an off-ball role like how the Warriors use Steph, and they let Giannis run the show? I don't know, man. I think there's a scenario where Giannis' numbers could go up. Like his assist numbers could go up, and Dame is going to get some of the cleanest he's ever got in his life. Good Lord. Man, I can't wait to watch this duo, man. Like, I'm really excited for this NBA season. I don't think I've been this excited in a minute. Like, I really want to see this Giannis-Dame pairing, man, because I think this joint could be like, I don't want to say Kobe-Shaq level, but I think it could be really, really good, man. Really, really good.
Let me see their schedule real quick. I want to see what their first regular season game is. Their first game is against Philly at home.
Ooh, boy.
So they'll have Fat Harden and Embiid coming to town.
Harden will be gone. You know that.
Or he just won't show up.
He literally just was in the club with a sign saying Daryl Morey alive.
Yeah.
Like, he gone, man. He gone.
The thing, I mean, I guess we can end with this. What team do you think is actually going to make up? Because I'm going to be honest, with the way Westbrook played, once they got him, I'm not trading for Harden and giving up my depth. I'm not doing that. Good luck. I'd rather have Westbrook.
I think they'd rather have Drew Holiday, honestly. They're trying to get Drew.
With the other pieces that they have, yeah, if you get Drew Holiday, then yeah, sure. But if it's between like Russ and do you want to bring in Harden to be better than Russ, I'd rather have Russ, to be honest with you, especially at the dollar amount that he's making. It's no question.
Over Harden?
Yeah. Because to me, they're really not that different of players. Inefficient shot chuckers. The only difference is one can make a step back.
I'm taking Harden because let's not forget Harden did drop 42 in the playoff game last year. Like he still got some of that. I don't think Russ got that gear anymore. But so I'm taking Harden to. Even if Harden can get me one game in the playoffs like that where he go off because Paul George and Kawhi might be hurt or just not having a good game, I'm taking that. If it's not the Clippers, Say the Clippers get Jrue Holiday. I don't know what Harden going to do. I don't see a team. Warriors. Nah, they ain't going to do that.
Nah, it would be pure AIDS watching that.
They ain't going to do that. I don't see where he would go. Honestly,
Spurs, baby.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's back to Texas.
Dallas, maybe?
That would be nasty.
Does he want to deal with Kyrie again?
That would be nasty work with Luka Harden. That would be so bad. Oh, my goodness.
Man, or he's just going to have to stay his ass in Philly.
I think that was his best bet. And I think that they fucked that up by not paying him. But again, I'm not even saying that he's the player that you should be paying. I would have traded him sooner or just not traded for him to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
With where he was at in his career.
Yeah.
Now, if it was prime Harden next to Embiid, they probably would have had a championship by now.
Yeah.
But it's tough, yeah, man, because I think now that the Dame trade happened, the Jrue Holiday stuff is going to happen before the Harden stuff happens.
Well, I know Harden's hoping that the Jrue Holiday stuff includes him, you know, where, you know, Jrue gets to where he wants to go and Harden gets to L.A., but I don't know. It'll be.
Yeah. I'm like trying to think of other teams that I where like who needs Harden. And that's the thing, like no one actually needs Harden at this point, by the way. No one needs Harden.
The Bulls need him.
Next to LaVine and DeRozan, that would be so awful to watch, dude.
The Raptors need him too.
That I can see.
Honestly, the Heat need him too.
Yeah.
Like, when you talk about that half-court scoring, but it's like, does he fit Heat culture?
Nah.
He don't, so.
But it's talent, and it's like, how much do you want to continue to piss Jimmy and Bam off before they eventually ask out? So it's a give and take.
You're striked out on everybody. I guess Harden would be the next best thing.
And it wants to say MB doesn't ask out at some point. That keeps getting louder and louder. I keep listening to different NBA podcasts. I was listening to Brian Windhorst the other day from the fallout from the Dame trade. That MB stuff keeps getting brought up, and it's in the background. It's not like officially anything yet, but it's like it could get there, you know? So
yeah, for sure.
But I think that's going to do it for us today. A lot of good conversation about the Wizards and about the NBA. Season is here, man. We got training camp starting, and we'll have some preseason games. I think the Wizards' first preseason game is against an international team. So I'm hoping that we don't see too much of Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma in the preseason, and they kind of let the other guys get their shine, Koulibaly specifically. But we'll see what happens, man. It's going to be an exciting NBA season. Like you said, this is the most excited I've probably been personally in a while for the league this year. We have some top-heavy teams in each of the respective conferences. And we'll see, man. We'll see. But it should be fun either way. But thank you guys for listening again. Reminder, please subscribe to the pod. Rate us 5 stars. It really helps us out. Leave us a review. Appreciate you listening. We'll see you next time.